It's a joy to be here this morning, be with the saints of God, and I enjoy what Brother Douglas said on the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are beautiful. We get praise. You know, most people know the Psalm number 1, 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd Psalm, and Psalm 119, the Law Psalm, Psalm 22 about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Psalm 136 on the mercy of God. We owe so much to God. And the Psalms can be sung to the Lord. We read the Psalms to know how to pray. We read the Psalms at times we feel the groaning of our heart expresses the feelings of our heart. And it's precious when the saints of God can read the Psalms. And I believe we need to read them more to understand the feelings of Israel. Their feelings are the same as ours today. How much we need God. We need Him every day, every day. And be praying this morning. I'm going to be preaching on, we love Him because He first loved us. Thought about preaching on the Lordship of Christ this morning. And then I thought about preaching on, is it vain to serve the true and living God? And some people think it is, but it's not vain to serve the true and living God. And I thought about a few other things, and I settled on this morning, and I pray that it'd be a blessing to your heart. You know, preachers are to exhort, sometimes we to rebuke, sometimes we to instruct. But I believe in the age in which we're living now, we need to comfort God's people. God tells us, comfort ye my people, said the Lord. And I believe we've all been through so many afflictions and trials and tribulation the past couple of years, the loss of loved ones, this conflict or this virus, our nation, Satan trying to put fear in all our hearts. We need to take comfort in one thing that never changes, and that's God's love. He loves us the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. In 1 John, it says, we love Him because He first loved us. He's the one who began salvation. His love has to be manifested in our heart. It says that in Romans 5:8 that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Ghost. We don't begin the love. The Holy Spirit begins that love. We reach out to God because He put something within us to reach out to God, and that's the love of God. Jesus prayed in John 17, which is a beautiful chapter concerning one of the greatest prayers that's ever been offered upon earth, His high priestly prayer for His people. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And remember that all that we are and in Christ, we were in the Father before. He said, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, God the Father. He gave us to His Son in the eternal covenant. What a blessing that is. And Paul was deeply struck with the love of God when he met the Lord. He fell on his face. One minute he had the attitude of hatred. The next minute he said, Lord, what Thou have me to do? And this is something that is very strong in my heart, is the Lordship of Christ. We should face our responsibility. When we come before the church and join the church, or join the congregation, I should say. I'm trying to get away from the word church. It's unbiblical. The word congregation or assembly. When we join the assembly, we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe from our heart that He is Lord. And we make a confession of that. And upon that confession, before the church, we're to live a consistent and holy life obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, why call me master and do not the thing which I say? Now, He is the Lord of our lives. Whether we admit it, whether we obey Him or not, He's still the master of our lives. And I was talking to Brother Ray. He has a way of reminding us who He is through chastisement. The Lord knows how to deal with His children. You cannot go out in the world and sin and get away with it. You may think you do, But the Lord knows how to bring on the rod, chasten his children, bring them down to their knee. They'll cry, Lord, where can I go? I've been there. I know. The Lord knows how to bring us down to the dust of the earth. He knows how to break this heart and make us say, Lord, why did I sin against you? Forgive me. Forgive me. Like the prodigal son. At times in our lives, we're all prodigal sons. We wander away from the Father. But oh, the Father's love draws us back, you know. And I pray this morning that this sermon would embrace you to realize your indebtedness to the Master. To the Master. Paul says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, think about who he was. He was the eternal Son of God. All the angels in glory worshiped him, praised him. And Satan was jealous of the Lord. He was cast out of heaven. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He became a man. He became nothing. He was born in a stable. He wasn't born in a palace, riches. For his people. For his people. He loves you. I want you to see his love for you this morning. And I pray that Paul says, the love of Christ constrains us. It constrains us. We need to be constrained today. We're dealing with the devil. We're dealing with the lust of the flesh. We're dealing with the world, the lust of sin, the lust of the eye. We're dealing with the pride of life. We need help from above to live in this world. The first time I preached here, I preached on living upon the living Christ. You'll never reach a point in your life as a Christian that you don't need Christ. Never. I don't care if you're 109 or 9. If you're a child of God, you need Christ living in you, through you, to live the Christian life. And he's the one that makes it wonderful. And he does it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will send you another comfort that he may abide with you forever. We have a Holy Spirit abiding in us. Why shouldn't we sin so willingly and freely? Because we grieve the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temples of the living God. This church is the temple of God made up of each member. It's the temple of God. God dwells in his congregations and he dwells there. He's here this morning. That's why we should show reverence for the house of God, because Jesus is walking in the midst of his churches. The presence of God is here. And I believe in a special way. When we assemble together, that's why Paul said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, the much more as you see that day approaching. Beloved, is the day in which we live in, we should be meeting more than we do. It's amazing how Satan has so bewitched the church today that they, some of them don't even hardly meet once a week, once a week, once a month. We need to be meeting as often as possible that we can gather together and receive teaching from the Lord to encourage us and encourage one another. You need encouragement. Is there anyone here so spiritual that you don't need encouragement? I don't think so. We all do. Right. That brother Ray sitting over there, he needs encouragement. From who? He's the pastor. From you, the flock. You encourage a pastor when you call him. You encourage a pastor when you visit him. You encourage a pastor when you pray for him. We all need encouragement. And that's why he made us into a body, a local body of Christ. God committed his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He didn't die for us as righteous. He died for us as sinners. We're all qualified. I'm a sinner. He died for me. He justified the ungodly, not the righteous. We had no righteousness. You hear a sinner this morning? If you feel the love of God in your soul and God manifests him to you and you believe in Jesus Christ, what a joy that is. Peter said this joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, there's some things we witness to people, but there's some things you can't teach them. You can't teach them the love of God. You can talk about it. You can have your joy. We can sing about it. We can praise about it. But until an individual is born of God and God sheds that love into their hearts, then they can say, the half has never been told me, Brother Ray. How wonderful is the love of God to a sinner whose sins have been forgiven for Christ's sake. Jeremiah said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." His love didn't start yesterday or today. It's from everlasting. He loved us before he ever started the world, before he ever said, "Let there be light." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before he ever created, he loved you and me. That's something to think about. By the way, we've been talking about the eternal union with Christ. We were one with Christ before the world began. In his purpose and mind, in his heart, he loved us. To think about that. You say, "Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. I feel so alone in this world." And sometimes we feel like that. I think one of the Psalms said, "No man cares for my soul. But there's one who sticketh closer than a brother." And that's Jesus Christ. And God gave us to him before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We mean something to God. Because everything he did for you and I. He came to save his people. Ephesians 2, that's a wonderful chapter. Just one verse in it. It's just marvelous. But God, brother, speaking about mercy, says, "Who is rich in mercy?" God's rich in mercy. What do we need? It's mercy. I do. I'm a sinner. I need mercy from the Lord. "For his great love wherewith he loved us." You want to know how he loved us? Read Matthew 1:1 all the way to Revelation. You'll see all the things that Christ taught and did, and you see how much he loved us. Paul says in Romans 8:26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Yes, we all have infirmities of the flesh. "But we know not what we should pray as we ought." We need to be taught by the Spirit how to pray. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groaning which cannot be uttered." Sometimes you got such a burden in your heart, you can't say it in words, you just groan, but the Lord knows what you're saying. When a baby cries, and that mother hears that baby crying, she knows what that baby has a need. And when the Lord, through his Spirit, enters into us, and we cry to the Lord, it touches his heart. It touches his soul. He reaches out to us and comforts us. Through the Holy Spirit's ministry, he comforts us. He's the comforter of God's people. You think about what Paul says in Romans 8:31. Sometimes it's hard to, you have to accept these verses by faith, because sometimes it seems like Jacob. "Everything's against me," Jacob said. "I've lost Joseph, I've lost my son, now you're taking Benjamin." It seems like everything is going wrong, but at the same time, he thought that all things was working together for his good.
Amen.
All things was working together for his good. And it says, "To them that love God," there is the condition. "To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." What purpose? Those he chose before the foundation of the world. He's working all things. Didn't say all sin was good. Didn't say that. Didn't say losing your child was good. Didn't say losing your mother was good. But it says God can work all things for your good. He can teach you lessons through trials and tribulations to draw you closer to him. I lost my mother last year. One a very difficult thing in my life. But it's taught me to draw nigher and closer to God. Depend more upon him. There's certain things we learn by death. And the blessed thing about death to me, that I have the blessed hope that one day I will see her again. Because we have that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, "Our loved ones are waiting for us in glory." They're waiting for us. Now, how much we'll know of one another, I'll leave that to the mystery things. But Paul says, "I should be known as I'm known." So I'll take it that far. I don't believe there'll be any husbands and fathers and dads and mothers in glory in the sense they are in our earthly existence, but I think we'll know one another in a certain special way. And we have that hope. Isn't it wonderful that we know we'll see our loved ones again? This is not the end. If we are just dying, it's all over, then we have no hope. Paul said we're men most miserable. But we have a hope of a resurrection of our bodies, the resurrection of the saints, the coming of the Lord. That should excite us. And he says that's why we shouldn't forsake the assemblies, because as we see that day approaching, how much more we should be in the house of God. We need to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. Because why? Because the Lord said so. Is he your master? Is he your Lord? I guess I am preaching a little bit on lordship. Because I'm concerned about the people of God today. Don't take the lordship of Christ seriously. It's not I can obey the Lord or disobey the Lord. Doesn't make any difference. Yes, it makes a difference. If you're a believer and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you made a public profession in the house or congregation of God and you profess to follow Christ, we need to be reading the Word of God, obeying His commandments, and following Him. And He'll bless us beyond anything we can imagine. You want joy unspeakable and full of glory? You want to feel closer to God? Then obey the Lord. Follow the Lord. He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You want to be blessed? This is a place to have the blessings of God in the congregation of the saints. And we need to encourage one another. God says in Romans 8:32, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All that we need in our Christian life, God will freely give it to us. You don't have to twist His arm. He's willing to give us the graces of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, which is, and God blesses us with those things. He puts the love of God into us. He gives us what we need to worship Him. He provides the Lamb. He provides the means, Brother Ray. It doesn't come from the flesh. It comes from God. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're born of His Spirit, which is a blessing. Who is he that condemneth? Verse 34. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who doing, what is he doing right now? Who's making intercessions for us. I want you to notice that emphasis. He does everything he does for us. For us. He's praying on your behalf right now. You say, nobody cares about what I do, what I don't do. Yes. Jesus, your Lord, so concerned for you. Even in glory, with all the angels and with all the hosts, he's upholding the world by his power, but he takes time to intercede on your behalf. What a wonderful Savior. And can't we obey him? That's the part that bothers me. There's not that zeal in God's people to obey him as we should. I'm talking about preachers too, not just you. I'm talking about all of us as God's people. We need to be more concerned with being obedient and obeying our master. You love your parents and you love your mother and your dad. They ask you to do something. You do it because you love them. We should have that same gratitude and attitude toward the Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Making intercessions for us. Paul says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is a sacrifice for us. See how Paul emphasized that, for us. He says in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was, in the eyes of God, the very cursed of God. Now let that sink in. Now judicially and legally, he became our sin barrier and bore our sins in his body on the tree and became, in our behalf, cursed of Jehovah God, cursed him. He bore our sins, the wrath of God was poured out on Christ. When he hung on the cross, there was darkness for 3 hours. Beloved, he suffered beyond what we can even imagine. Why? Because he loved us. And because he loved us, we should be willing to submit to him and obey him. He said in John's Gospel, If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. So if we don't keep his commandments, we're not loving him as we should. And he said, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. See how they go together? If you really love God, you'll keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, says one of the teachers in the New Testament. For us, he was cursed. Says in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love. And we as Christians should walk in love among the congregation. We should love one another. That's another subject. 16 times the Holy Spirit emphasizes to love one another. Love one another. Love one another. We must be hard-headed. And we need to remember that. We are to love one another, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. I can say, I love you, Brother Douglas. I love you, Brother Douglas. But if I never go around Brother Douglas, never encourage Brother Douglas, never call Brother Douglas, never visit Brother Douglas, if I was a member of this church, there'd be something wrong with my love. Love is to be seen. Love is an action word. We are to love one another. And it should be seen in our lives. And there's a times even ministers need to be loved. I'm not picking on Brother Ray this morning, but we all need love. Sometimes we think the men like Brother Douglas and Brother Ray, well, they're spiritual. They're growing. They don't need love like we do. Yes, we all need the love of each other. Need to encourage one another. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And have given himself, notice this, for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Beloved, everything he did was for us. He shall save his people from their sins. How wonderful that it is. And here's another great thought. You know, someday there's going to be a judgment. And the wrath of God is going to fall upon ungodly and wicked, sinful nation. But look what Christ did for you and I. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. We're serving the true and living God, not a false God, not an idol. But Jehovah Father, Jehovah Son, Jehovah Holy Spirit. I was talking to a young man, and he was a free thinker from Greece, and he was talking about the gods of Greece and all their different gods, and he said there was no gods except the gods of Greece. I said, oh, pardon me, yes, there was a god before their gods. He says, what god was that? I said, Jehovah God is before all gods of so-called gods of this world, of Greece or anyone else. Jehovah is the true and living God. And in Jehovah, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is the true God that we worship. And that's the one that loves you and me. Hallelujah for that. And he goes on to say, and to wait for his son from heaven. What are we doing right now? We're waiting for the return of his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to take us home. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, notice this, which delivered us from what? From the wrath to come. We're not going to face the wrath of God. We've been delivered from it. You say, we're at the cross. Who put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. He put away our sins. He put away our guilt. He put away the filth of the flesh. He put away sins to be remembered no more against us. Judicially and legally, they'll never be brought up against us again. Well, that is a wonderful thought to think about. I never have to face my sins. Christ faced them for me. He gave himself for us. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, not zealous to sin. He said good works. There's nothing wrong with good works. Now, what good works doesn't bring us to heaven. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the good works are what? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the main thing of good works before God is our obedience to the God, to the Lord. That's a good work. Who worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Who's working in you? God gives you the ability to love him. He gives you the ability to obey him. He gives you the ability to follow him. And when we get out of line, he knows how to straighten us out. He chastises us and brings us back. And after we've been chastened, that peaceful joy he gives us through the trial that we go through. It's wonderful. It's amazing how God, you know, God's got this all worked out. Brother Douglas, Brother Ray. He's got it all worked out from beginning to end. But for us, in Hebrews 6:20, it says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's already entered the veil. He's there. And it says, we sit in heavenly places in Christ right now, Ephesians 1:3. We sit in heavenly places. In Ephesians, it speaks about in chapter 2, we were buried with him. When he died, we died. When he arose, we arose. It shows that we had a union with Christ before we ever believed.
Amen.
Before you ever believed, you were one with him. You say, when did that begin? It began in eternity. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And because of that, when he died for us. When he arose for us. When he ascended, we ascended with him. So we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. We're sitting in heavenly places this morning in the house of God. How wonderful it is. He obtained eternal redemption for us. What a blessing that is. He says in Hebrews, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In the Old Testament, everything was transitory. It was just temporal. Those sacrifices didn't really take away sin. They just pushed it back, pushed it forward until the Lamb of God came. And when he gave his redemption, it was eternal, never to be repeated again. That's why we don't need redemption to be repeated. He did it once. And once it was done, it was over. He sanctified us once and for all. Peter says, for even hitherto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, notice for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Are we following the steps of Jesus? And John, in 1 John, said that we should walk even as he walked. Now, I know that's a big command. And only by the grace of God that we can do that. But it's teaching. You know, Paul says in Ephesians 5, as imitators of God, be you imitators of God as dear children. We need to be imitating the character of God in our lives. Christ was holy. We need to imitate that holiness. Christ was lovely, long-suffering. We need to be imitating that through the fruit of the Spirit that God puts within us. It's all done through God's power. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing without Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. He suffered in the flesh. Suffered. And he tells God's ministers in Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He didn't say it was going to be easy being a minister. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Be willing to suffer for Christ's sake, who suffered for you and I. Suffer for us in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Beloved, we need to realize we need to suffer for the glory of God. Be willing to suffer. When you confess Christ in your family, some of your family members won't like you. Get ready to face it. Some of your biggest enemies may be those in your own household. Jesus divides. Some of your friends that you used to have friends. I had a friend that I knew until I was 20-something years old. He came to visit me and he heard I believed and told him about believing in Jesus. He said, I want nothing to do with you anymore. And he left. I never saw him again. What happened in his life, I don't know. But when you follow Christ, he said, if they hated you, hated me, they'll hate you. Yeah. Don't think the world's going to love, everybody's going to love you, beloved. even your own family. It's sad it has to be like that, but it's truth. They don't like the likeness of Christ. It's what they see in you. They see Christ in you. That's what they hate, because it makes them feel guilty. It makes them feel condemned. They realize one day they're going to be judged by him. He laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Look how he emphasizes it, for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that's a great, that's a command that we'll take the grace of God to do. If it came to a choice that I had to lay down my life for Brother Douglas, God's saying you should be willing to do it. We should lay down our lives. We say, well, I can lay down my life for my child, I believe. But as brothers and sisters, and I believe we can do that because God's grace will give us the ability to do it. If we come to that. And if we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, shouldn't we be praying for each other? Giving up our time to go visit a brother and sister in need? Remember, this congregation, you're the flock of God. You're the assembly of God. You're the people of God. You owe love to each other. Paul says, don't owe love one to another. Make sure you're giving love to each other. Don't owe it. Don't hold it back. Give it. And as a congregation, you need, in our church in Crown Point, we need to be loving one another and sharing our love that's in our hearts with each other. You can know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brothers and sisters of the Lord. One thing John teaches in 1 John, I'm teaching through that each Sunday. Love, if there's no love, there's no life. It's only a profession. You profess you know God, but in works you deny him. In other words, if you're not loving your brother, we're not loving one another. We say, I know God, but we don't love one another. John says in 1 John, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Because where there's love, there's action. That it will be seen. John's pretty plain and right to the point. He doesn't mind telling you like it is. I'm not as brave as John was where he called some of the in his congregation he preached to vipers and snakes. I haven't went that far yet. I kind of leave that to John. But he was very plain when he talked. Is you're either in light or you're in darkness. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You're either following the Lord or you're following the devil. And when you follow the devil, you're following the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. There is no in between. Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. And only each one of us can say, will we stand this morning? If you're not following him, what are you saying? What's he saying to you? Then you're against me. Sometimes we don't take things seriously as we should. He's appearing right now in the presence of God, which I mentioned this early. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's appearing in the presence of God for us. See how much he loves you and I? Everything he's done and is doing. Even in heaven, after he's left this world, ascended back to his Father, he's doing everything on behalf of his people, Brother Douglas. He hadn't forgot about us. He sent us another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us, to comfort us in our afflictions. But he's still, it says in Ephesians 1, that he's the head over all things to his congregation. He's the head of this church here. He's the head. He's the great shepherd. Brother Ray and Brother Douglas, they're here. They're the under shepherds. They minister to you, but he's the great shepherd. We're not here to take his place. We're just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. In closing, this is the beautiful part. He's coming back again for them that are his. He's not coming for the whole world. He's coming back for them in his. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. He's coming back for his people. Those he saved, those he sanctified, those he washed their sins away, those that were given him before the foundation of the world, the ones that the Father gave him. He said, I've lost none. He said, I will raise them up at the last day. That's the proof of the resurrection. There will be a resurrection, though some people don't believe there'll be one. I believe the Word of God teaches very plainly, he will resurrect his people.
Amen.
From the grave.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that. That's a blessed hope that we have. At his coming, he's coming, beloved. And this is the Father's will. Now, will the Father's will be done? Amen. It will be done. Which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing. So don't be concerned about losing your salvation or falling from grace, as some teach. Christ said, I've lost none that the Father gave me. All that the Father gave me shall come to me. And he that cometh to in me, I will no wise cast out. He wanted to comfort us that he would never cast us out. That's comfort for us. But should raise it up again at the last day. Now, I may have brought this out before, but I thought it was very encouraging thought. In Romans chapter 8, verses 27 through 34, the eternal love of the Father is emphasized in those verses. In verse 27, the Father is referred to two times in verse 27. He's referred to three times in verse 28. He's referred three times in verse 29. He's referred six times in verse 30. He's referred to one time in verse 31, two times in verse 32, two times in verse 33, one time in verse 34. He's referred to 20 times in these few verses. Just the Father. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's talking about the Father. Is working all things together for our good. He's the one that purposed and is bringing forth, sent his Son. God loves us. The Son loves us. And the Holy Spirit loves us. And he sheds that love into our hearts that we can love him first and then love one another. Beloved, if this truth of God's love for you can get a hold of your heart, it will, as Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us. It will constrain you to be obedient to your master, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the love of the Holy Spirit. You shed abroad the love of God in our hearts, that we might love our great God and love the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And be faithful unto our master until he come again. We thank you for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Until he comes, may we be found faithful, that we might hear him say unto us, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servant. In his name we pray. Amen.
John 6:44. Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We sing one of the songs, I guess, that everybody knows, Amazing Grace. The man that wrote that, John Newton. He was a preacher. And I read about a fellow that went to see John Newton not long before he died. He was toward the end of his life. And he told his brother, he said, I'm going to heaven on two crutches. Now, some of us here in the last year or so, we know a little bit about crutches. Know a little bit about people that's having a little bit of trouble getting around because of different frailties that they have. But here's what John Newton said the two crutches was that he was going to heaven on. The one on the left side, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. He said, that's one of the crutches I'm going on. But the other one is, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
I believe we can go to heaven on that, brother.
Amen.
Brother. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he won't cast one of them out.